Okay, we are holding by Perek Tes Zayin, by chapter 16 of Tanya. And chapter 16 is a continuation of the idea and the avoda of the Beinoni. In a big picture, as we mentioned so many times, Tanya itself is called the Book of the Beinoni. More than anything else, it's the instruction, the manual, the guide, how a person can be a Beinoni. A Beinoni is someone who serves Hashem every day. Someone who has the internal struggle of the two souls and is able to overcome that time and time again, day in and day out. And that's Tanya. Based on the Pasuk, as we said way back, Kikare ve'elecha hadavar ma'od, how it's close and attainable, accessible for every person to serve Hashem in every area, beficha, verbally, belvavcha, emotionally, la'saisai, in action. And for most people, the vast majority of people, that takes a level of avodah, of service, and a level of a struggle, the struggle of the two souls that reside within the person, as we've learned. So there was a whole lead up, and we talked about the souls and the makeup of the souls, and we talked about the garments, and we talked about ultimately the battle of the souls. We talked about the tzaddik, we talked about the rasha. But in chapter 12 is where the Alter Rebbe started in earnest the story of the Beinoni and the avodah of the Beinoni. That started in chapter 12, Yud Beis. So we've done together on that, once we began that segment, Yud Beis, and Yud 12, 13, 14, and 15, four such parakim. And that brings us tonight to chapter 16, which is another peruk devoted to the avodah of the Beinoni. And there's going to be one more peruk like this next peruk before we go into a different segment, as we'll see. So the peruk begins, the Alter Rebbe says he wants to tell us, and really the story of this peruk is two great rules. The Alter Rebbe calls it Klal Gadol, a great klal, a great rule. And in this parak, he teaches us one klal gadol at the beginning, and then he moves on and he says, Yeser al-Kain, another klal gadol. Two rules for the Beinoni, two great rules, principal rules that he discusses in this parak. So, the first rule, the first great rule of this parak, Dr. Rebbe says, is that the Beinoni is one who is going to rule over the nature, over their natures, their natural instincts, their natural desires, through the Or Hashem, the light of Hashem that shines in their mind and ultimately in their heart. And what he tells us as follows, he says, and it's something we've touched on in the past, here he sort of crystallizes it with a great rule. The Beinoni, as we said so many times, always does the right thing. Every day, every mitzvah, always check plus. Never does the Avera, never does what you're not allowed to do. Why? With what koach? How is the Beinoni so good at always doing the right thing? So the first thing that we typically think is someone who always does the right thing, they're really good disciplinarian. They have tremendous self-control and tremendous self-discipline, and they always do the right thing. They make decisions and they follow through. But the Alter Rebbe in Tanya is very clear, that's not his Beinoni. The Beinoni the Alter Rebbe is discussing is not someone who's just, you know, very good at self-discipline or very good at self-control. Rather, it's someone who goes through an intensive personal avoda in order to empower themselves over all of those negative desires or impulses or tests. And that avoda is using their soul powers, the kochos and nefesh, which go back all the way to chapter 3 in Tanya, where we learned that our soul, our nefesh, is made up of two general divisions. There is the intellect and the emotions, the mochin and the midos. And the Alter Rebbe says, and again tonight he says it very strongly, he says, how does the Beinoni work? What makes the Beinoni tick? What makes the Beinoni always win their battles? The answer is that they use their koiches, their soul powers, intensely. Meaning, first and foremost, they use their seichel, they use their intellect to learn about Hashem, to inspire themselves about the Gdulas Hashem, the Godless Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, the vastness of Hashem's creation, and think about it, and contemplate about it, using our Chochma, Bina, and Das, the wisdom, understanding, and knowledge, and the power to connect to that, which is Das more than anything, is connection. And the Beinoni every day, or actually the words every day I just put in, not, I don't know if every day, davening is every day, but the Beinoni frequently learns, and thinks, and tries to inspire themselves, himself or herself, in the greatness of Hashem, to become enthusiastic about Hashem. And then that seichel, that intellect and that learning and that contemplation of the Beinoni becomes or creates emotions. And what are the two basic emotions of a Yid in Avodas Hashem? Is Ahavas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. The love for Hashem and was thinking so much about the greatness of Hashem and the wonderfulness of Hashem that inspires a love, and on the same time it inspires Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem, Yiras Shemaim, awe of Hashem, also inspired by the intense learning and understanding and reviewing and contemplating the concepts about Hashem. And because the Beinoni has inspired a real love of Hashem brings about the desire to do mitzvahs. Because when we love someone or we love something, then we want to connect to it. When we love Hashem, then more than anything else, we want to connect to Hashem. And there's only one way to connect to Hashem. We connect to Hashem through doing His mitzvahs. We connect to Hashem through doing whether it's the Torah mitzvahs, whether it's the rabbinic mitzvahs, whether it's Torah study, which is actually the greatest form of connection. Like we say in davening with Salmo Torah, Keneged Kulam, the Torah study is the ultimate form of connection to Hashem. So the Beinoni used Seichel, learning, in order to create feelings of love, and therefore is inspired to do mitzvahs of Hashem. Or, alternatively, the Beinoni learned a lot about Hashem, and therefore inspired Yiras Hashem, awe of Hashem, a fear of Hashem, which is going to keep the Beinoni from doing any Avera. If one has awe of Hashem, fear of Hashem, Yiras Shemaim, then they won't do any Avera, whether it's a Torah Avera or a Rabbinic Avera or what we call a small Avera or a big Avera. The greater the level of Yiras Shemaim, the greater the carefulness not to do any Avera. So that the secret of the Beinoni's success, day in and day out in their Avodas Hashem, is that it's not just about do and don't do. There's a whole avoda. There's a whole system. There is learning. There is davening. There is awakening feelings which empower the Beinoni to do the right thing and to stay away from the wrong thing. And that, he says, is the klal gadol. Alter Rebbe says, he calls it the great rule or the golden rule of the Beinoni. That the Beinoni's success is based on the internal avoda, using their seichel, using their midas, using their learning, using their understanding, and developing and creating emotions, and with those emotions of love, energizing, inspiring all the mitzvahs asei, fear, energizing and inspiring not to do any averas, that's how the Beinoni accomplish and is victorious every day of their avoda. Now, I want to stop for a moment. This is extremely foundational in understanding what Hasidus Chabad really is, right? I mean, of course, the question has been asked in a million different forums, so what is Chabad? And I'm sure there's many different answers, and I'm sure many of them could be correct answers. But clearly, definitely, at least one of the answers is that Chabad is about Chabad, Chachma Bina Das, which is the importance of not just doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing, but understanding and learning about Hashem and about Ruchnius, and in that way, inspiring ourselves to have the right midos, and therefore to do the right thing and wrong thing in a much deeper and much more inspired way. Now, of course, one might argue that, you know, isn't it easier just tell me what to do and tell me what not to do? Why do I have to learn, and why do I have to contemplate, and why do I have to awaken feelings? Right? It would seem to be a hard avoda, the avoda that requires the learning and learning chassidus and learning about Hashem and awakening feelings. And really going back to, we discussed in our first Tanya class, which was 17 classes ago. In the introduction, we discussed that the Alter Rebbe says that the way of Tanya is a derech arucha uktzara. He says the way of Chassidus, he called it a long, short way. And you'll recall, we discussed it then. What does it mean, a long, short way? He says, I'm not giving you an easy fix. The way of Chassidus, the way of Tanya, is not meant to be, one, two, three, and we're done. The Alter Rebbe says the way of Chassidus is a way of avoda that takes learning and takes effort and takes internal work, but it's short in the sense that it's secure. Because if Yiddishkeit is just about doing the right thing and not doing the wrong thing, you know, one day I'm inspired, the next day I'm not. One day I'm doing the right thing, one day I'm not. But if I work myself internally, if I think, if I learn these concepts and I inspire myself, and therefore I'm inspired, then my devotion and my success is going to be that much greater, says the Alter Rebbe. And that's really what he's coming back to in this Perek. Again, I'll finish with this part. The first klal gadol, the first great rule of the Beinoni, is that it comes through the whole steps of avoda that starts with seichel, starts with learning, goes to inspiration and midos, and that leads into maisa of doing the right thing, which is an expression of the midah of love, and staying away from the wrong thing, which is an expression of the midah of yira. And that remains central to Chassidus, of course, from when the Alter Rebbe wrote it till today. And that's why there's this tremendous emphasis to learn Chassidus. To be a Chassid means to learn Chassidus, because as the Alter Rebbe tells us, that's the framework, that's the basis. The learning, which leads to the feeling, which leads to the Maisa, which leads to the action. Famously, I'll just put it out here, especially because it's a woman's class, that there's the question of the parts of Torah that women are obligated to learn. And everyone knows that the first thing that women are obligated to learn, just like men, is the halachas. Whatever halachas is important for a woman, all the mitzvahs leisa say, men and the mitzvahs asay. So a woman has the obligation to learn all the Torah, all the halachas that are important to know what to do. And the Rebbe maintained and said it so many times that there therefore includes all of Chassidus. Because Chassidus is what creates and help and brings us to Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem. Chassidus, which is learning about Hashem, brings us to the feelings of love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, which in turn bring us to doing the mitzvahs properly. And obviously that's something that a man and a woman are equal to, and therefore the Rebbe maintained and said this so many times, that when it comes to learning of Chassidus, there's no difference between a man and a woman and the obligation, because this brings us to the basic serving Hashem properly with the right Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem, which lead to our mitzvahs. Okay, all of that is part one. That was the first Klal Gadol that the Alter Rebbe says in this chapter. But then he moves on and he says, Yeser Al Kain, even more so, I have to tell you another Klal Gadol, another great important rule that's extremely important for the Beinoni to know. And here he says something that's very fascinating and very, very practical and relevant to most people. He says, what if a person tries to go through the steps and they learn about Hashem, and they might learn a mimer or another mimer, and they might learn about different parts of the great of Godless Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, and different types of meditations, and so on and so forth. But that learning and knowledge doesn't translate to revealed feelings, emotions of Ahavas Hashem or Yiras Hashem. And the Alter Rebbe introduces us to a new concept in the way our mind and our emotions work. Right? We have our mind learning. We understand. We learn a concept and understand it. We try to understand it as well as we can. The ideal way, the ideal if you're following the Tanya format, is I learned something. I learned it very well. So it went from intellectual, from understanding, and then it becomes an emotion. And suddenly I start loving this and wanting it and desiring it because I learned so much about Hashem. I love Hashem. I want to connect to Him with this powerful desire and love and yearning and longing. That's wonderful when a person feels that intense longing and desire. But what if one learns, and they learn, one may have learned to mimer and learned about Hashem and learned about the greatness of Hashem, and it makes sense intellectually, and even to some emotional level, it's like, yeah, so I should want this, I should like this, but it sort of stays there and doesn't go to the next step. It doesn't become a full-blown love, longing, desire, yearning, and want. Or the same as with Yiras Hashem, with fear of Hashem. One learned it, and one was inspired by what they learned, but it doesn't become a palpable fear and awe of Hashem, and therefore a fear of doing an Avera. It never graduates to that level of Midos. And the Alter Rebbe introduces us to a concept here called Talumos Libo. The word Taluma means it remains deeply, it's hidden in the heart. It's not a Mida that's fully expressive, fully expressed. Again, it's not merely intellectual. He builds this, basically the way the Tanya tells us is there's three steps. There's when it's something's just intellectual. One learns something and they know it, they understand it, but it has no meaning to me. Totally detached. I can learn something about a foreign wisdom. It means nothing to me. That's something that's just in the world of intellect. Then it touches one's heart and one says, well, yeah, that's nice. I should want it. I like it. I should desire this. It's so good. It's so right. I should want it. And then, in a perfectly healthy situation, that should come out to a full-blown desire and emotion and love and wanting and yearning. But sometimes it stops at step two and doesn't make it to step three. So the person learned, the person was inspired intellectually, even emotionally the person was inspired to want that which they understood intellectually, but then it stops. it never becomes a full-blown love or a full-blown fear, a palpable feeling. And then the person goes ahead and does the mitzvah. Does this count? Is this mitzvah considered an expression of that learning and feeling, the seichel, the midos, the intellect, and the emotions that are supposed to lead into the act? If there isn't that revealed passionate desire or revealed passionate fear that's being involved or enclosed in the act that's being done. But before we get to the answer to that question of what that counts for, how that works, let's say, why does this happen? Why is it sometimes, and I'm going to say many times, and for many people most times, why is it that though we learn, and though we're inspired intellectually, it doesn't somehow translate into the same type of liking and longing that we have for something very physical? Or the same type of fear that we might have for something physical, right? We learn about the greatness of Hashem, and we know it, and we believe it, and yet our heart doesn't necessarily beat with fear of doing something against Hashem's will, or with passion to connect to Hashem through doing a mitzvah. What causes that? And interesting, if you have a time and you look on the side, there's the Haggadah, which is the footnote, so to speak, on the side. Now, the Rebbe gives a little Kabbalistic reason why it happens. And he says it all has to do with where one's neshama comes from above. Because we learned all back in chapter 3 that the neshama down here has, you know, has its intellect and has its emotions, but the neshama really is an expression. It comes from the divine intellect and emotions, the divine spheros. Every neshama is a product of the spiritual spheros, the divine attributes that the neshama is taken from. But every neshama comes from a different place within the spheros above. So he explains, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, but it's just interesting, I want to mention it, that in whatever goes on in our own system of intellect and emotions and the intellect or the inspiration and that leads into the emotions, all of that is a reflection of the way it works above. And our soul, our neshama, comes from a certain area in that system the way it was in Hashem's spheros. The Alter Rebbe says many times the neshama of a person comes from a place above before the midos, the godly midos, became fully revealed. In fact, he uses a very interesting metaphor. You might recall in chapter 3 we learned, the Alter Rebbe says that he called the intellectual parts of the neshama the imos, the mothers, and the midos are the children. Why is the intellect called like the mother and the midah the children? Again, this goes back to chapter 3. So he said, because intellect really gives birth to emotions, just like a mother gives birth to children. So the intellect really, in a healthy way, the intellect gives birth to emotion. One thinks and understands and contemplates and creates emotions. Says the Alter Rebbe, but there's a certain state of being when a mother gives birth before the child becomes a revealed entity on its own. And that is during the gestation period. When the child is, in Hebrew, is called b'pchinas ibur. Ibur is a fetus, is an ibur. So when the child is still within the mother, that's when the midah is still within, it's covered by the intellect. It's not yet a fully developed, a fully revealed midah. And that happens both spiritually speaking in the spheros in heaven and in our neshama as well. There is the intellect. The intellect then gives birth to a midah, but first that midah is still covered over, is still in the gestation period, if you will, within the intellect. So it's not yet a revealed midah, a revealed excitement. And it's quite likely that a person's neshama came from heaven, where in it comes from the place or that area, that time, that the midos are still in the gestation period, and therefore they're not revealed midos, which therefore create that for the person, it's much harder for the person to create revealed midos in their relationship to Hashem. Okay, that's just a side piece of Kabbalah in understanding where one's soul comes from and why it might have certain effects. But be that as it may, let's get back to the Perek. What's the main rule that Alter Rebbe wants to teach us? The Alter Rebbe says like this. He says, a person learns, and a person contemplates, and a person davens and thinks about the greatness of Hashem, and creates in their heart a feeling like, oh, I should want to connect to Hashem. I really should want to connect to Hashem. I really should be fearful of disconnecting from Hashem. But it's all sort of, I want to want. I would want to love Hashem. I would want to run to every mitzvah with passion. I would want to run away from an avera with dread. But I don't quite feel the passion. But I want it. I've thought about it. I've learned about it. I've inspired myself. And I want to want. I want to feel that desire. And therefore, I'm going to go ahead and do a mitzvah. And therefore, I'm going to go ahead and not do an avera. Says the Alter Rebbe, the big rule for the Beinoni is that Hashem considers this a real Ahavas Hashem and a real Yiras Hashem. And that he's very, that's like I would say the biggest point of this chapter, of this Beirik to know. That even though I might second guess myself and say, it's not real, I don't have a real burning desire and passion, right? I mean, I know the things that I have a real burning desire and passion for, and I don't feel that burning desire and passion. I learned and I thought and I developed some feeling, but it's not real feelings. It's not palpable feelings. It's not passionate feelings. Yet, the Alter Rebbe says, if I went through the steps and I learned and I've worked on my emotions, wherever I got to, whatever level of emotion I've been able to reveal and muster up, and I took that, and because of that, I did a mitzvah. I did a mitzvah properly. The Alter Rebbe actually gets involved in the discussion. He says, a person who learns about how the whole world is like totally bottled, totally nullified before Hashem, and therefore he realizes that everything in this world, all it really desires is to connect to Hashem. And therefore the person feels like, I also, all I really should want is to connect to Hashem. And in fact, I recognize that my soul is sort of stuck in the physicality of my body, but all my soul wants is to be able to just go out and connect to Hashem, which it has the ability through mitzvahs and through Torah. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says, a person thinks about this, and a person comes to the place where therefore Itaka goes and davens and learns Torah and does mitzvahs. So Hashem considers it as if this person did mitzvahs with full Avas Hashem and full Yiras Hashem, as if the person went through all the steps of the learning and the feeling and the mice of the mitzvahs themselves. Because at the end of the day, what brought this person to do the mitzvah? All those steps. The person learned. The person tried to inspire themselves to whatever degree of revealed inspiration and passion the person reached. The person did A and B, and that brought the person to fulfill the mitzvah. So Hashem sees it as if this is a mitzvah that's fully invested with the intellect, with the learning, with the feeling, with the emotional inspiration, all of that invested into the act of this mitzvah. In fact, he says, and here he goes on to something that really is going to be explained much later in Tanya, but he touches it upon here, so I want to mention it here. He says, there's a big difference between a mitzvah that's just done, I did the act, versus a mitzvah that's done with passion, with feeling. The Gemara says, mitzvah b'li kavana, a mitzvah done without the right feelings and intentions, is kaguf below neshama. It's like a body without a soul. A healthy mitzvah is one that's done passionately. It's done with feeling, with ahavas Hashem and yiras Hashem. In fact, it's written, and again, this will be discussed in much greater detail later in the 30s and 40s of Tanya. But there it says, and based on the Zohar, that every mitzvah that we do it here in this world, obviously. But that mitzvah itself, the act of the mitzvah, has to be born upward and born into heaven where it unifies with Hashem. And it's the level of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem that determines how that mitzvah is elevated and brought up to the higher worlds. And there's a whole breakdown of which world it goes to, which type of mitzvah, which type of feelings. Again, all this is for later. But the concept is true. In fact, mitzvahs in the Zohar are called, not mitzvahs, feelings. Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem in the Zohar are called wings. The Aramaic word for wings are gadfim. And the Zohar has a name for love of Hashem and fear of Hashem, and that's the wings of the mitzvahs. Why are they the wings? Because the actual mitzvah is doing what Hashem wants. The act of the mitzvah creates the body. That's that body. But what brings that mitzvah upward? What helps it soar heavenward is the level of feeling, of passion, of Avas Hashem and Yiras Hashem that we infuse the act of mitzvah with. Famous Hasidic story about the Baal Shem Tov who came to a shul and he stood outside by the door of the shul and the Hasidim were waiting for the Rebbe to walk into the shul, but the Baal Shem Tov didn't want to walk into that shul. He says, "I want to go to a different shul." They say, "What's wrong? You know, politics, you know, what's wrong with that shul? Why are you going to a different shul?" They asked the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov said, "There's too much Torah and mitzvahs in this shul for me to go into." They said, "What? Since then, is that a problem? Too much Torah and mitzvahs in the shul?" And the Baal Shem Tov said, "Yes." He says, "The Zohar says that when mitzvahs are done with the proper feelings, they soar upward. But in this shul, all the Torah mitzvahs are still in the shul. They didn't ever soar upward. They're not done with passion. They're not done with feeling. I want to go to a different shul." The Baal Shem Tov was able to see that when he walked into the door of the shul. But here we have the concept that the Zohar says, and the Alter Rebbe talks about in time, that it's the passionate feeling with which we do mitzvahs that bears the mitzvah upward to the right place in Gan Eden, the right place where the mitzvah has to go. Says the Alter Rebbe, coming back to our chapter, but what if I did the mitzvah but I didn't feel real passion? Again, I thought about it, I learned it, I felt this level, we called it the want-to-want, some level of feeling, but it's minute, it's not passionate. Does that bear up the mitzvahs? Does that become wings? Does that bring the mitzvahs to their higher worlds where they're supposed to go? Says the Alter Rebbe, yes. And that's the second klal gadol of the perek. That because the Beinoni learnt and tried and inspired themselves to a degree, though the inspiration wasn't what we might call full-blown feeling, that's enough to be enclosed within the mitzvah and bring it heavenward to where it has to go in heaven. And in a fascinating turn, the Alter Rebbe says that this will become the explanation of a very interesting statement in the Gemara. And what we see here is an example of something that happens in Chassidus many times, that there's a statement in Gemara that has a certain meaning according to Pshat, and Chassidus does not negate that. There's the Pshat level of it as well. But Chassidus is going to give a whole different and deeper interpretation into that teaching of the Gemara. And here goes. It's a Gemara tractate Kiddushin. And the quote is, Machshava tova mitzarfa lemaise. A good thought, Hashem connects to an action. That's the literal translation. Machshava tova, a good thought, mitzarfa lemaise, Hashem connects that to action. What does that mean? So let me read out of the Gemara first. The Gemara says, Machshava tova mitzarfa lemaise, a good thought, Hashem connects to maise. Shenemra, as the Pasuk says, in Malachi. Interesting. Last week also we talked a lot about Malachi in our Tanya class. So the Pasuk says in Malachi, Az nidbiru yirei Hashem ishel re'ehu. Those who fear Hashem talked one to a friend. Vayakshev Hashem vayishma Hashem. Listen to what they spoke. Vayikasev sefer zikaron lefanov. It was written in Hashem's book of memory to remember the good things that he heard. Le'yirei Hashem, for those who fear Hashem. Ulechoshve shimo. Those who think about his name. That's the Pasuk in Malachi. Again, that those who fear of Hashem talk one to another. Hashem listens, writes down their words in the Sefer Zikaron, the book of memory before Hashem, to those who fear Hashem and those who think about Hashem's name. Says the Gemara, Mai ulechoshve shimo. What does the Pasuk mean when he says that Hashem remembers and writes down those who feared Hashem and those who thought about him? Amar Rav Asi says, Afilu choshav adam lasos mitzvah. Even if one thought to do a mitzvah, v'nenas v'lo asa, but then they didn't end up doing it, maila alav hakasav ki'ilo hasa, it's as if the person did the mitzvah. And that's what it means. L'chosh v'shma Hashem, considers our good intentions and our good thoughts as if we actually did a mitzvah. Something that happens many times, a person has a good resolution, a person says, if, you know, I plan on doing this particular mitzvah, I plan on giving that tzedakah, I plan on helping this person, I plan on going to shul, whatever it is, and then something comes up and a person's not able to do the mitzvah. So here we have that golden rule of the Gemara, Machshava tova HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa lemaisa, a good thought, a good resolution, a good intention, Hashem considers it as if it's done properly. Special gift of Hashem. Interesting, the Gemara goes on to say, but that's not with a negative thought. If one wanted to do an Avera, but then didn't get around to doing it, that's not considered as if they did it. Right? We have the concept of Miruba Mida Tova. Hashem is easier on good than he's tougher on bad. So if a person wanted to do an Avera, intended to do, but then it didn't work out, that Avera is not considered an Avera. But if a person wanted to do a mitzvah, wanted to do a positive thing, and then for whatever reason it didn't happen, it wasn't up to them, it didn't happen, Hashem considers it as if it's done. That is the Gemara. So the simple interpretation of Machshava Tova Kadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'maisa, a good thought Hashem connects to an act, is that a good thought, if you wanted to do something, Hashem says, it's as if you did it. That's the simple pshat of the Gemara. And it's a correct pshat. That's the pshat level. Says the Alter Rebbe here in this chapter, a totally new interpretation. And he says, if you think about it, you think about the actual words, a machshava tova, a good thought, Hashem mitzarfa. The word in Hebrew, mitzarfa, means to connect. So a good thought, Hashem connects to an act. If this idea only means what we said, that if someone had a good thought to do something and they don't do it, it's considered as if they did it, then the word connect is somewhat strange. A good thought, Hashem connects to an act. A good thought, Hashem considers as if the act happened. Right? Machshava tova, if I wanted to do something, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it looks at it as if it happened. What is the connection aspect? What's the connection concept? And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says that there's a totally deeper esoteric meaning to this statement of the Gemara, that a good thought Hashem connects to an act. And what he's talking about is exactly the second rule of this chapter. The Beinoni who has a good thought. Thought means the Beinoni learnt. Or the regular person learned, tried to inspire themselves, and then went ahead and did a mitzvah. But really, there wasn't the passion. They never got to the level where the feeling was passionate, was palpable, was powerfully or revealed feeling. So therefore, there's a disconnect between the learning, the intellect, and the action. See, when we intellectually know something and then passionately feel about it and then do it, there's a very clear connection between all three. The intellect led into the emotion and the emotion infused the action with feeling. We all know when we do something passionately, the act is done so much better, so much more powerful. When we do it without passion, the act is sort of, it's just an act. So when a person learns, understands, and then gets passionately involved, and then does it, so it fuses seamlessly, automatically. This act is filled with the passion which was created by the learning. Then it doesn't need any divine assistance, so to speak, to connect the dots, because it fuses, it's automatic. The intellect created the emotion is invested and infuses the action, and the person does the mitzvah with a tremendous feeling. It's a beautiful mitzvah. But here we have the story of the Beinoni and the story that so many of us know firsthand, that yes, we learned, and yes, we may have davened, but somehow, yes, we may have worked in our davening and worked on inspiring ourselves, but somehow the inspiration sort of wanes, and when it comes to do the act of the mitzvah, I'm just doing it. So is that learning, is that emotions truly invested, truly infusing the mitzvah with passion and with chayis? Can that intellect and not passionate emotion become the wings that should bring this mitzvah heavenward? Says the Alter Rebbe, that's what the Gemara is talking about. Machshava tova, it's only a machshava. It didn't come into revealed emotion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzarfa l'maisa. Hashem takes the person's machshava, the person's learning, the person's passionless inspiration, and mitzarfa connects it, lemaisa, to the act, so that it should be considered a fully infused act, an act that's infused with life, with vitality, with inspiration, and therefore is able to be born up heavenward to where the mitzvah has to go to be brought based on the learning and the inspiration of this person. And that, says the Alter Rebbe, is the deeper meaning of that Gemara, and that is the second golden rule for the Beinoni. So whereas the first rule of the chapter was that the Beinoni doesn't just do or not do, doesn't just do mitzvahs and not do averus, the Beinoni works on investing effort and creating desire, emotion, through intellect. The Beinoni works on the whole nine yards, on all the steps of the avoda. So it should be a complete avoda. The second golden rule says that even when the Beinoni might feel that there's a link missing in the chain, they learned and they tried, but they weren't passionate about it, still HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa LaMaisa, Hashem does bring it, does connect it to the Maisa, and this Maisa, this mitzvah, is considered a fully infused mitzvah with Seichel, with Midos, with intellect, with emotion, and is able to go exactly where it has to go. And that's really where the Alter Rebbe finishes this chapter with these two rules for the Beinoni. I'll just take, before there's a question, I'll take one more moment and say the following, that when we talked about that statement of the Gemara, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mitzarfa L'maisa, that Hashem takes the machshava, the thought, and He connects it to the act. So we had the pshat level and the tanya level, right? The pshat level was that Hashem, that if a person wanted to do something and they weren't able to, so Hashem considered as if it was done. That's the pshat level. And then you have the Hasidus level, that a person, we're talking about a person who learned and tried to inspire themselves but didn't get to that level of passion. Hashem connects that learning and inspiration to the act. But on the pshat level, on the basic level, when we talk about the person who wanted to do something but didn't get to do it, they didn't get, you know, didn't have the opportunity. They wanted to do a mitzvah, but the opportunity then didn't happen, didn't work out. So, and according to that pshat, we said the word mitzarfa is difficult. What's Hashem connecting? You connect something when you have two things, not when you only have one, and you never got to the second thing. So the Rebbe, obviously many years later, after the Tanya, the Rebbe offered an explanation to what it means to connect, even according to the pshat level. And that is that when a person wants to do a mitzvah, Hashem ultimately sees to it that the person will have the opportunity to do it. And that's the connection. Hashem brings the person at a later point to a place where the person will be able to fulfill that mitzvah, even if the first time around they weren't able to. Because if a person has a good machshava, a good desire, whether it's a desire to do a mitzvah of helping another yid in one form or another way, or a desire to do a mitzvah between a person and Hashem, a person wants to do it. So even if for whatever reason at certain points they're not able to, but Hashem mitzarfa, He connects the person to opportunities, brings the person at a later point that the person should be able to fulfill that mitzvah that the person desired initially, because no good thought ultimately gets lost, and Hashem brings it to a place where the person will be able to fulfill that mitzvah. So that's an additional vart that the Rebbe said in explaining that idea of mitzarfa l'maisa. But again, back to our perek in Tanya, the Alter Rebbe's point is to talk about that siruf, that connection that Hashem makes between thoughts that remain somewhat more in the realm of intellectual and don't become passionate, and Hashem connects that to the mitzvahs, that the mitzvahs done through them and because of them are considered full, wholesome mitzvahs that are able to be born to heaven where they have to be, because Hashem makes that connection for us when, for whatever reason, we don't make it on our own. And with that, we finish chapter Tazayin 16, and we'll move on, Mirtz Hashem. No, actually not.